You're listening to the Elevate Podcast, the official podcast of the Coastal LA Singles Ministry, where our focus is reaching up, reaching in, and reaching out.
Good almost afternoon, my family. Now, I know how I kind of almost slept last night. How did everyone else kind of almost sleep? Yeah? I knew I should have brought my own pillows. Those things were like, woo, way too soft. I had four of them, and it's still squished down like that thin. I'm sleeping like this all night. But my name is Gary Ross from the Coastal LA Long Beach Ministry. Where are you guys at? Woo! And I have the great pleasure of introducing someone I just met this morning and just had his class about 10 minutes ago. And that was an amazing class. Let me find that here. And our speaker is going to be David Bruce. He's going to be talking about loving God with all of your mind. And for those who know him, he needs no introduction. But for those who don't, he's originally from Oklahoma and was wandering around Moscow, Russia, when he was met and baptized in 1991. In 2000, along with his one wife, right? Two kids. Jason. Moved to L.A., and shortly after moving to California, he decided to go back to grad school and get a master's degree in psychology. David has been a licensed marriage and family therapist since 2008, but has also worked as an addiction medicine counselor in the clinical setting for over 10 years. At this clinic and in his ministry, David is often referred to as the brain guy. David loves integrating insights from the field of neuroscience with biblical principles in a clear, fun, and practical way. His conviction is that if we know how something works, we use it better. This applies to the human brain. David currently works part-time as an LMFT in Culver City and part-time serving as an associate pastor in the Turning Point Ministry. Love Turning Point. And he also specializes in chemical and behavioral addictions, depressions, anxiety, and couples therapy. David's self-care regimen includes reading, movies, and motorcycle riding. With no further introduction, here's David Bruce.
Good morning, everybody. It is so great to be here, and I'm so grateful to be talking with you all about this wonderful thing that God has given every single one of us, which is a brain. How many here are grateful for their brain? I hope so. Okay, we should be. And Jesus gave us some instructions about this. In Luke 10, he said, the greatest commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And let's all say this one together, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So I read that for years and thought, okay, that makes sense. I should love God a lot and whatnot. But I realized I really don't know what it means. How do you love something with all of your mind? So many years ago, I kind of got on this quest of trying to understand more clearly how the mind actually works. And I'm telling you, since I've discovered these things, it has transformed my Christian life. And I hope that what we talk about today will really enlighten you, inspire you, free you, and just give you amazement in terms of how God has made us and how he's made us for relationship with him and how our minds can help us in remarkable ways. So if you guys don't mind, if you need to take a nap right now, go ahead and do so. I'm going to do a 2-minute brain class. So if you've already learned this stuff, just go ahead and put a timer on your phone and take a nap or something like that. But your brain, I'm going to talk about two main functions of your brain. The prefrontal cortex is right behind your forehead, okay? And that's in charge of things like judgment, decision-making, impulse control, forethought. Do any of you have these functions currently in your life? Okay, you should have a little bit more enthusiasm about those things, because if the enthusiasm isn't there, I'm a little concerned. Okay. A little too much impulse control. Okay, here we go. So these are really wonderful, complex functions of the brain. And then we have our limbic system, which is located sort of in the core of your brain, right there in the middle. And all these particular things take place, or they are carried out in this area of your brain. Your emotions, mad, glad, sad, or scared. And I'm talking about the female and male brain. Brothers. Just giving you a moment to acknowledge and go, yes, I do have emotions. That's good. And then reward center and your social brain and your long-term memories. Every memory that you have in your head, all the memories from your childhood, all your memories of life before church, all your memories of life in church, all that stuff is stored away inside your limbic system. It's all there. Now, how does the brain work? We have over 100 billion cells, brain cells, in our head. Can anybody count to 100 billion? I don't even know what that number looks like. I just know it's a lot of zeros. And when you think about how many brain cells are in your head, it's just staggering. It's staggering. However, your brain, your body, only has a certain amount of energy. So your body can't light up 100 billion brain cells all at the same time, or something really tragic would happen. You wouldn't exist. But the point is, your brain is very, very efficient. And so the way the brain works is it's all about energy distribution. And let me give you a quick example of how this works. So everybody trust me for about 5 seconds and close your eyes. Green cows. Okay, open your eyes. What did you just see? That was a tricky one, right? Because your brain was searching like, okay, wait a minute, I know what a cow is, and I know what green is, but I've never experienced a green cow at the same time, right? But the point was, I just gave your brain a little exercise, and when I said green and when I said cow, energy was sent to two different clusters of brain cells in your head. You have a little cluster of brain cells connected and associated with the color green. And then you have a whole other set of neurons that are connected to the concept of cow. And that could be memories of a cow, pictures of a cow, you know, stories about a cow, Chick-fil-A cows, you know, whatever cow you have in your brain. I just said two words and energy was sent to those particular brain cells, woke them up, gave them energy, and they were on. And then you're trying to figure out, what the heck is a green cow? I don't even get it. It doesn't exist. So that's how the brain works. Whatever you focus on, whatever you pay attention to in your thinking, you are sending energy to those particular brain cells connected to those ideas. Now, do you know what happens when you give something energy? If this room had more energy, what would happen? No, just kidding. I'm just kidding. All right, sorry. That was just a little dig. I apologize. I'm just making sure you're awake. Okay. Anyway, but when you give something energy, it comes to life and it grows. Okay? It grows. You take energy away from something and it dies. It doesn't exist very long. Okay? Now keep that in mind as we talk about some of the things we're going to talk about today. So if your brain is about energy distribution, now we just did a quick brain lecture on the difference between the prefrontal cortex and the limbic system, right? So here's the thing. Remember, the limbic system had the emotions in it, okay? If you have a really, really strong emotion, which part of your brain is lighting up? The limbic system, correct? Which means so you have a lot of energy going on in your limbic system. Well, guess what? The brain only has a certain amount of energy. So if you have a lot of energy going to an emotion, how much energy is left for judgment, decision-making, impulse control, planning? Not a whole lot. Does that make sense? So in other words, we want to make sure that we are exercising our brains in such a way to keep them really, really balanced. Because which part of the brain are we supposed to love God with? Yeah. We're not supposed to love God with our prefrontal cortex. We're supposed to love our God with everything. Our prefrontal cortex, our judgment, our decision making, our impulse control is all about loving God. And limbic system, same rule. All of my emotions, all my reward center things, things that I enjoy, things that excite me, all the stuff connected to my reward center, that's about loving God. All of it. All of it. But when the brain is not balanced, we tend to have trouble. We tend to have trouble. So here are all the different parts, so making sure we're remembering this stuff. So remember these two very different areas of the brain. And remember, we're kind of looking for balance, but to be honest, we want a little bit more energy in our prefrontal cortex than in our limbic system. And why would we want that? Well, let me give you a picture to explain that. Here we go. So the elephant, that powerful elephant, represents this powerful limbic system inside your skull. Okay? Your limbic system is a very powerful part of the brain. However, it is not the smart part of your brain. Does that make sense? Now, what do we need to love God with? Power or smarts? Both. Both we need to be giving to God, correct? So if you look at the limbic system, all those functions represent that elephant. And then the prefrontal cortex represents all those higher complex functions that is represented by the rider. Now, an elephant without a rider is a dangerous thing. If there was an elephant right over there in the corner of this room and no one was in charge of it, how would we feel? Would you go over there and give it a high five? You know, what would you do? You'd probably be a little nervous because that thing is big, and wherever he moves, there's going to be some harm. There's going to be something broken. If not the chairs, then me. And so I got to get out of here, right? So the limbic system is a very powerful thing, but if you have the rider on the elephant, now we can access all that power, all that drive, and all that momentum, and we can decide where we want to go with all of those blessings. Is this making sense? Okay. Now, interesting thing here. Notice what I added here on limbic system. I added safety. Now, right above safety is memories. So remember, all of your long-term memories are stored in your limbic system. So basically, your history, your story is locked in to that limbic system. Okay? And right next to where your memories are, there's this little tiny nugget in your brain called an amygdala. And its main responsibility is to make sure that in every possible situation, you are safe. Now, can you remember, what do you do when you don't feel safe? Are you calm? Are you rational? Are you reasonable? Generally, a lot of those things go away when you don't feel safe. And if your amygdala says you're not safe right now for physical reasons, or you're not safe right now for relational reasons, like a lot for men, if you walk into a room and you anticipate being disrespected, guess what? Your amygdala says you ain't safe, and you better be ready, right? Women, maybe for you, when you go in a room, if you feel like you're not going to be considered, right, or thought of, that would make you feel really unsafe and like, okay, is this going to be a good situation? Here's the thing. When our brain says we're not safe, the first thing that happens is it begins to shut down the prefrontal cortex. So think about it. When you're not safe, the brain doesn't slow down to go, okay, well, what's the best decision here? No. The brain says we need to get safe, and we need to get safe right now. And sometimes the decisions that follow are very reactionary, very impulsive, right? Impulse control was in PFC. Now we don't have the impulse control. And now we're just kind of reacting to things. But remember, the amygdala is stored right next to our history. Right next to our history. Has anyone here in your life ever been hurt? Okay? I guarantee you, when you're hurt, your brain says, remember this. And it does it for a very good reason. Because if someone hurt me when I was 7, depending on how they hurt me, that's going to inform how I look at many situations in the future. Because guess what? I don't want to get hurt that way again. You follow? Okay, so let me give you a rule. This is a relationship rule that I think would really, well, it's really helped me in my relationships, in my working relationships, in my friendships. But this is called the 90-10 rule. The 90-10 rule. And basically it's this. That when you're having conflict, and by the way, does anyone here have any conflicts? Boy, we're raising our hand a lot in this class. I'm getting tired, Dave, so let's ask different questions or whatever. But when we have conflict, 10% of what's going on in that conflict has to do with here and now. 90% of that conflict really has to do with your story, with your history. Because remember, your brain remembers your history. And it remembers all the 7 times when you were disrespected as a kid. And you're in this conversation with this brother right now, and he sounds disrespectful. And wait a minute, I've been here before. And your amygdala is going to light up saying, you ain't safe, man. And I'm going to have a big conflict with this brother. But do you see the point? 10% has to do with what this brother is saying, which may in fact be disrespectful. It may be absolutely wrong. But 90% of my reaction to it may be connected to my story, my history. Can I back up a slide? Okay, going back to this brain thing. When you look at the limbic system, a lot of our behavioral sins are connected to the limbic system. When the limbic system becomes our idol, when the limbic system becomes the thing in charge, for example, my emotions, right? Have you ever had a day where your emotions were in charge of your day? I guarantee you that was not a good day. That was a rotten day, right? Because our emotions are not supposed to be in charge of our lives. They're supposed to inform our lives. They're supposed to be servants, not masters. Reward center. Reward center is where all of your dopamine neurotransmitters come from. Whenever you do something fun or exciting, dopamine is released. It tells you this is a great, fun activity. But guess what? That same reward center is what is rooted in all chemical and behavioral addictions. Meaning, now I want to get high, and I don't care about my responsibilities, I don't care about my relationships, because all I care about is activating that reward center. When substances or things become idols, that's when we know our reward center has gotten locked in and it's in charge of my quality of life rather than me being in charge of the quality of my life. Social, your relationships. Have you ever put a relationship above God? I have. It doesn't go very well. It doesn't go well. I remember when I was dating Cece, we've been married 23 years. But when we were dating, I remember this conviction that I was a little scared, but it was healthy scared. Because I wanted to make sure that I convinced myself and I convinced her that I love God more than you. And I wanted to be convinced the other way around too. I wanted to be convinced that she loves God more than me. Because I don't want to be anybody's idol. And sisters, I know you do not desire to be anybody's idol. You are far more precious than that. You are far more valuable than that. Finally, memory. Our stories can become too important. Our past is important and we need to understand it and we need to learn from it. But when your past begins to dictate your life now or doom your story in the future, then it's too important. God is always trying to write your story with you. He wants to write your story with you and not trap you in the story of your past. Now, again, a lot of our past have had hurts. And guess what? When you are hurt, you need care. And that's why I am such a huge fan of people getting therapy, getting counseling, because sometimes some of these painful things in the past have not been cared for in the way that they needed to be cared for, maybe in the past. But they can be cared for now. Okay? All right, so moving forward here. Rule of conflict, we got that. So if you have a conflict today with anybody during the conference, just remember, 10% has to do with what's going on right now, 90% has to do with what happened when I was a kid. Okay, so if we're saying that the prefrontal cortex, the rider, needs to be in charge of the elephant, the limbic system, who needs to be in charge of the prefrontal cortex? Your discipleship partner. No, just kidding. It's a joke. That was a bad joke. Oh, man. This is the last conference I'm going to be asked to. Okay. Really sorry. Okay, here we go. So here we go. It's actually the answer's in the Bible. Okay, Romans 8:6. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Okay? And by the way, I love discipleship partners. I think discipleship partners are essential. Relationships are essential. But if any relationship starts becoming more important, or I become more dependent on a relationship than the Spirit of God that has been put in me when I got baptized, then I'm going to start having problems. And the poor discipleship partner, he's going to have problems. Because guess what? He can't deliver what the Spirit can deliver. No dude can just give me life and peace all the time. But the Holy Spirit is always trying to guide you to life and peace. Okay? All right. I love this quote. Dallas Willard said, "The ultimate freedom we have as human beings is the power to select what we will allow or require our minds to dwell upon." Isn't that a powerful statement? Can you imagine if you read the Bible and you got some great insight into it and you said, you know what? I am now going to require my mind to believe this. Or I'm going to require my mind to memorize this and live according to this. That's a powerful, wise decision. But it all is rooted in intentionality. I just share this with the brothers. Life does not change without intentionality. We are always having to make that decision of what we decide to think or what we decide to do in our lives. We get good at what we practice. Now, is that good news or bad news? Yes, that is correct. It can go either way, baby, right? I remember I was in clinic with a bunch of adolescents and, you know, we were working with kids coming out of, you know, substance abuse and, you know, obviously really challenging family situations. But I remember my colleague just said, you know, my grandmother always taught me, be careful what you practice or you'll get good at it. And of course, what she was talking about was lying. Did you know you can get good at lying? You can start practicing today and you'll get better and better at it. But that's a dangerous thing, right? So we got to make sure that we practice good things that are good for us and that are good for our relationship and our connection with God. So, much to learn from trees. Does anybody here like trees? The brothers are all rolling their eyes in the last class because I talked about trees like a little too long, but whatever. Okay, but trees are good, okay? Now, if you look at this tree, do you notice a very subtle line in that grass? Okay? This is a beautiful example of how your brain develops what we call neural networks, okay? In other words, if you think a thought one time, it's like one walk across that path to the tree. Now, if you walk to that tree one time, are you going to create a path? Weak. Barely. If you think a thought twice or three times, is that path going to get stronger or more clear? It will, right? And if you think a thought 1,000 times, if you walk back and forth to that tree 1,000 times, I guarantee you there will be a clean cut path straight to that tree. This is how neural networks are formed in our minds. what you think over and over and over again becomes stronger. And let me tell you one thing. One of the strongest neural networks in my head before I became a disciple and for many years after I became a disciple was this one. I don't have what it takes. Now think about that. I said that in the morning before I went to school. I said it in the middle of algebra class when I was starting to feel stupid. Then I felt it at lunch when I found it awkward. How do I connect with people and who are my friends? And every situation was the same thought. I don't have what it takes. Now, do you imagine how strong that neural network was? It was super strong. And only by God's grace was I able to begin to untangle and start weakening that neural network. But guess how you weaken neural networks? You build new ones. You build new ones. And this is what the Bible and this is what the Holy Spirit is all about. It's trying to give you new neural networks. Okay, remember this? Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. Have we read this before? Have we all decided to carry our cross and follow Jesus? Do we have any energy about that? Okay, good. Just testing you. All right, very good. Because that neural network needs to be really strong. I am a disciple. I am following Jesus. Okay. Now, for years, when I read this, I always read it at such a superficial level. Because when I read deny yourself, all I thought about was, guess what? My bad behaviors. Right? Oh, it's my behavior. I gotta deny all those bad behaviors. I gotta deny lying. I gotta deny impurity. I need to deny, you know, hating people. It was just all these behaviors that I needed to stop doing. But is Jesus talking about more than that? I think he's talking about a lot more than that when he's talking about denying yourself. Because myself includes hundreds, thousands of neural networks, little thoughts in my head that are wrong, that are not based on truth, that are not based on God's will. They're based on my story. They're based on my experiences. They're based on my conclusions about things. And guess what? I've made some bad conclusions about many things in my life. But God wants me to be free. Now, who prepared the way for Jesus? You guys are good. You guys know your Bible. This is really awesome. Okay, here we go. So think about this. This is John. And what does he say? He says, produce fruit in keeping with, thank you very much, Bible scholars, okay, in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. Now, interesting, right? Now, which part of the brain of the Jews is John talking to? Memory. He's talking to their limbic system. It's like, guys, stop holding on to your history. Stop holding on to what you've just been believing and saying to yourself all your life. Because guess what? When Jews were walking around looking at prostitutes, you know what they said? They said, I am a son of Abraham. When they looked at the tax collectors, what did they say? Hey, we're sons of Abraham. We're good. They're bad. Then Jesus came along to offer them salvation and the way. And what do they say? Nope. I've already got that memory taken care of. I am a son of Abraham. They were trapped in their story. And they were not able to listen to the author of all stories, Jesus. Look at this wonderful definition. This is the word repentance in Greek. Metanoete. I don't think I said that right. I'm not from Greece. I'm from Oklahoma. We don't speak a lot of Greek in Oklahoma. Let's just put it that way, all right? Okay, so metaneite, one of the definitions is think about how you have been thinking. That's really what John was trying to say. Hey, guys, just think about how you're thinking about things. And if you start that, you're going to be so ready for this guy coming along named Jesus. Think about how you think. It's a powerful thing. But guess what? So often we just think, well, the mind is what the mind is. And my thoughts are just my thoughts. They just happen. They just happen. No, you're not learning. You're not learning. You are not the slave of your thoughts. The Holy Spirit is what you're a slave to. And the Holy Spirit wants to navigate, transform, or maybe even get rid of a lot of the ways that you thought that did not lead to life and peace. Can I give you another one? Get a thought about your thoughts. A thought beyond your thoughts. Now, how can we apply this? Well, get a thought about your thoughts about being single. Get a thought about your thoughts about being single. We had this really big revelation in our ministry a couple of months ago, and some singles were getting together and they were planning some things, and they realized that all the other ministries are defined by what they have. Right? Campus ministry, what do they have? They have an education that they're pursuing. They have classes to go to, right? Married people, what do they have? They got spouses. All right, great. Singles, what do you not have? That was so just depressing, right? And so they decided, okay, let's think about how we're thinking about this issue. And they realized, you know what? We're done. We are no longer going to be defined. We're no longer going to just have this neural network in our head that just constantly says, hey, I am not. No, we're going to change that. And we're going to be defined by what we pursue. We're going to be defined by how we serve and how we influence things. That's how we're going to be defined. Do you think the mood in that group went up or down? It went up, and they're on. And they are getting some things done now. Because we don't need any neural networks that tear us down or shut us down. We need thoughts that align with the Holy Spirit. That align with the Holy Spirit that wants to govern your prefrontal cortex, which then governs your limbic system. And now we're moving. We're following the Spirit toward life and peace. So I tell you this, Ephesians 4, and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and are separated from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. So Paul, what is he talking about? Is he talking about the behavior of the Gentiles? No. No, no, no. The problem is not their behaviors. The problem is the futility, the uselessness of their thinking. Their thinking is not useful. Therefore, they get involved in behaviors that one should not. And when you practice useless thinking over and over and over again, something starts to happen to your heart. You know, the heart is the CEO of your existence, right? Protect your heart, guard your heart. Why? Because your heart is in charge of everything that you're going to do. And the Bible tells us to be careful. Don't trust everything that your heart says. That's why the heart needs help. The heart needs relationships. The heart needs the Holy Spirit. The heart needs a lot of things to make sure that it is helping you, right? But if I'm practicing useless thinking over and over again about myself or about other people or about the ministry or about that leader, if I keep practicing useless thoughts, I am in danger of hardening my heart. I was having this conversation with Cece just even on the way up, and it was really good because do you know how you learn what someone's thinking? Listen to them. Because thoughts eventually work their way out of someone's mouth. And if they bypass the prefrontal cortex, then the things out of your mouth are going to be really strange and really probably not good and not rational, okay? And it was so interesting because I was talking about some situations in life that have been really difficult for me and stressful. And Cece helped me realize, oh, you know, it seems like there's some of your thoughts are not really helpful or useful. And man, she nailed it. She nailed it. Wow. There's the futility of my thinking that was going to lead to some really unhelpful behaviors. Are we seeing the connections here? Okay. Ephesians, a little further. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. This is written to us as sons and daughters of God. This is not read to married people. This isn't read to single people. This is read to people who have received the Holy Spirit, have been forgiven of their sins, and offered a new life. You are a new creation. Do you know what new creations do? They start living. They start becoming something. Every single one of us, we, single or not, we every single day have the potential of becoming something. But part of it is making sure that we are not trapped in old thoughts and that we're practicing every single day new and better thoughts. We need that. I have a few takeaways. Number one, before you look at your life, look at your thoughts. If there's anything not going great in your life right now, look at your thoughts about that situation. How are you thinking about it? And I kind of apply this new kind of a Holy Spirit litmus test. I just ask myself, the thought that I have right now, does it have the potential to lead me and the people around me toward life and peace? If not, then that thought has failed the test and I need to dismiss it and move on and look for the thoughts that will lead to life and peace. Before you look at someone else's life, listen to their thoughts. How many here have had the opportunity of listening to Brandon Redler? Okay, if you have not, you are missing out, okay? Brandon is a brother who became a disciple in Florida. And I'm not going to go into his whole story, but basically he came to church as a woman. Started studying the Bible, and halfway through that process, just with the scriptures and the Spirit moving him, he realized, I have put the way that I feel about my gender as an idol. The way that I feel about this is more important than God. It's a powerful story. But the reason why it's so important is because you can look at someone like Brandon and go, oh, transgender person. Or, oh, that person's gay. And we put these labels on things. And we have no earthly idea what their story is. We have no idea what thoughts have been going on in their head for years that have tormented them and hurt them and isolated them. And the reason we do that is because we're afraid to listen to someone's thoughts, to honor them. Brandon said what transformed him was the people studying the Bible with him, which were women at the time, they loved him. Love, scriptures, transformation. Brandon is Brandon now. And Brandon is happy. Brandon has life and he has peace. Does this make sense? We need to listen to people's thoughts. Practice new thoughts. Remember, the best way to get rid of your old, unhelpful thoughts is to start practicing new ones. And how do you practice new thoughts? Any guesses? You got to think them, say them, write them, and share them. Okay? Now let's think about it in reverse. Let's go down the negative path first. If I thought, I am a horrible person. I just thought it. Okay? And then I went into the mirror every day about 4 or 5 times and said to myself, I am a horrible person. And then I went and did some journaling and wrote down, I am a horrible person. Okay? And then I called 2 or 3 of my friends. Well, I don't really have friends because I'm a horrible person, but I called them anyway. And I said, hey, bro, I am a horrible person. Can you just fathom what my life looks like at this point? Messy. I mean, down. Unhelpful. So think about it in reverse. If I start practicing a really good thought, I am loved. Period. Meditate on that. Don't think it and move on. Meditate on it. By the way, girls, sisters. You're girls and you're my sisters. Thank you. I just taught all the men in the last class how to meditate. The girls are fired up about that. All right. Come on. See, brothers, I told you. I'm trying to help you out. Okay. But how do you meditate? You take something outside. You read something. You look at something. You notice something outside of you. And then you do that until you feel something inside. And then you move. I think too many times we read the Bible, but we don't meditate on the Bible. We need to meditate. So a simple thought like, I am loved, man, you could spend minutes on that thought. I am loved. Okay, maybe the first time I read it or said that to myself, I believed it this much. But if I keep practicing that, writing that, saying that, what's going to happen? I'm going to start believing that new thought more and more and more. This is a beautiful way how we grow. Beautiful way how we grow. Oh, there you go. I'm plugging trees again. Okay, but you understand, right? You don't create those new thoughts like that. It takes time, intentionality, and repetition. And eventually that path is going to be carved in your brain and you can't escape that thought anymore. That thought's showing up everywhere now. Having difficulty with my relationships? I am loved. Work is really hard and really stressful? I am loved. Stuck on the 405 again? I am loved. Saturday night, nobody asked me on a date. I am loved! Right? Remember, you get good at what you practice. I'm so sorry, guys, but you have to practice. And besides, we're disciples anyway, right? What are disciples? Disciples are learners. Learners practice. We've got to practice. Okay, finally, steal good thoughts. Don't worry, it's not a sin, okay? Those thoughts, God gave them anyway, okay? So anyway, steal good thoughts. And like I just shared, when you hear a good thought, steal it, think it, repeat it, write it, say it, and then share it. So what happens when you share it? You're planting a good seed in that other person's skull, and if they take it and think it and repeat it and write it and share it, we might change the world. We might change the world one mind at a time. But start with yours. Okay, can I get you started? I'm going to give you some thoughts that you can steal right here at this conference. Okay? You ready? Now, these are just ones that I've picked up on in the last couple of weeks. And I promise you, every single one of these, I have written them, I have repeated them, and I have shared them. And I'm telling you, every time I do this, it is a fascinating, great conversation. Brothers and sisters, single brothers and sisters, guess what? We need lots and lots of good conversations. Good conversations lead to connection. We need connection. Okay? You guys ready? Here we go. Your ability to thrive depends far more on how you treat others than on how they treat you. I shared that with like three or four brothers, and we just had this amazing conversation about, oh, wow, I get that. Like, when I'm focused on how other people are treating me, I'm a victim, and I can't go anywhere. And poor me, woe me, gosh, that's not a good thought. And so we started thinking, talking differently to get to some better ways of thinking. You ready for the next one? Wow. Yes. Don't worry, your ability to thrive does not depend on how fast you write these quotes. So, actually, if you didn't get it, guess what you have to do? You have to ask a friend, or you can cheat and take a picture. Okay, here's a short one. This one's easier. Old ways won't open new doors. I stole that one from our Sunday service last week. By the way, pay attention at church. There are often very good thoughts shared on Sundays. The guy behind the pulpit, just listen. You'll pick up some things. Okay. Old ways won't open new doors. And here's another one. Curiosity is more important than suspicion. And by the way, these two remarkable words represent two diabolically different brain processes. Suspicion is a thought process that is laced with cortisol and stress and fear. And if you are moved with suspicion, it means you are living and looking for things to go bad. And they will. Curiosity is the polar opposite. Curiosity is a brain process that is laced with dopamine. It's because I know there's something interesting here and I'm going to find it. I know there's something good about you and I'm going to learn about that as I listen to you and as I stay connected to you, because I'm staying curious about you rather than suspicious. Let's make a commitment to be thoroughly curious about how God has made you and has made your mind, and use that mind in these fascinating ways. And I promise you, we will have a life with life and peace. Thank you all very, very much. What is it? Is this like my encore? This is crazy. Okay. I'm just filling in for the awkward silence. I think now, is it lunch break? Okay, so let's say a prayer. Let's cover the lunch prayer right now. Okay. Wow. Okay. Dear God in heaven, we love you. We are loved by you. God, I'm grateful for every person here today. Father, I pray that today every single person will consider a new thought. Man, even if it's just that simple one we just mentioned, I am loved. God, I know it's taken me years to strengthen my belief in that thought. God, help us start today. Help us start with new thoughts and practice them and share them with one another and build one another up, God, with thoughts that bless us, thoughts that liberate us. God, you are our Father. None of us in this room had a perfect Father experience. And yet, God, it's available to us now. Help us to think correctly about you. Help us to think correctly about your will, your perfect, pleasing will. God, you are so for us. God, we want to live for you. Thank you so much for everyone involved in the conference today. I pray that everyone has an amazing time in the great fellowship and great conversations throughout the rest of the day. God, I pray that everyone goes to bed tonight with life and peace. God, we love you. Thank you also for all the things that lived and grew to become nourishment for our bodies, which we will now consume for lunch. Thank you for food and all those wonderful blessings. We love you. In your son's name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.
You've just listened to the Elevate Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit ElevateCoastal.com.